Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, April 27th, 2016. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando's stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the podcast, I'm talking with Bob Chavez and Matt Hallbauer about their whirlwind trip to Walt Disney World for the Star Wars Dark Side Half Marathon. Welcome back to the show, guys.
Great to be here, Aaron.
Likewise.
So this was about as much the definition of a whirlwind Walt Disney World trip as I have ever seen. You know, I know people who have been going through Orlando anyway, and so they stop and do a quick one day in the parks, that kind of thing. But I don't think I've ever talked to somebody who has done quite the crazy thing that you two did.
Sure.
So let's get everybody the background here. You two decided you wanted to run the Star Wars Dark Side Half Marathon. Now, when did you decide you were going to do that?
Well, let me stop you right there. I had 7 citrus rolls on this trip, so I don't run anywhere.
The running was all, this is Bob, the running was all me. We had paid for the California race for the whole family. 2 weeks later, after we finished paying for the Star Wars race in California, Disney announced there was going to be a Star Wars race in Florida.
Right. That caught everybody, I think. You know, people were anticipating maybe it was coming, but not that it would be immediately after the Disneyland race the way it ended up being. I mean, you know, just a few months there.
Right. So I had gotten that email that's like, oh, this is coming, and I told the missus, I am not going to do this. We just paid for this other one. We're not going to go. The registration was a month later, and, well, she convinced me that I should go because there was going to be, it was the inaugural race. And then when she saw the coast to coast, the specialty coast to coast medal, then she was convinced it was a good idea for me to run both races.
All right. So your wife was your enabler on this one.
In this case, yes. From there, it was a simple question of finding somebody to go with me because we had just taken the whole family on a big family trip in January. There was no way to take the whole family on 2 back-to-back trips.
Right. I can see that. So how did you sucker Matt into this crazy trip with you?
I love bad ideas.
All right, look at that. All right, so
Matt and I have the fortune of working together. So I was sitting at lunch and I said, hey, Matt, I'm going to drive 14 hours, run a race, and drive home for 14 hours. Do you want to go along for that? And over the course of the half hour we were having lunch, he said, yeah, sure, that sounds like a horrible idea. I'm in.
Okay. All right. So you kind of gave us the synopsis of the crazy plan. Driving from St. Louis to Walt Disney World, driving in the day before the race that you were registered to run, and then turning around and the original plan, if I remember correctly, was to turn around and drive back that day, next day. How was that going to work?
Hearing it now, it's like when was this ever a good idea? Why did we think that part was in any way a good idea?
So the original plan I'm fortunate to have a relative who lives in the Villages, Florida, which is an hour north of the theme park. The plan was to drive in on Friday, the long drive on the Friday, sleep in the Villages, go to an on-site resort so that I could get up and catch the bus on Sunday morning, run the race, maybe do a theme park that was still up in the air when the original plan started for half a day, and then get in the car and drive home starting in Sunday, like, you know, 1-2, driving in overnight through the Monday, sleep, and then be at work on Tuesday.
Okay.
That was the original plan that I sold Matt on.
Initially, we had, like, for a really short span of time, we were going to do Epcot because it is during Flower and Garden. I've never been to it. I don't think he has, right?
I've never been to... Yeah, neither of us have been to Flower and Garden. Epcot's harder to do with smaller kids.
Right.
So it seems like more of an adult time. This would be a good time to go if we're only doing part of the day, if we're we don't have the kids. It made sense.
Right.
The more I thought about driving all that time to Central Florida and not riding Haunted Mansion, the more that I thought, well, that's stupid.
So at that point, we changed the plan, and the plan became we're going to do a whole full day at the Magic Kingdom, leave when it closes, and then go back to my uncle's house in the Villages, and then drive home from there on Monday. So that became the new plan. And it was the dumbest thing we could have come up with. We just didn't know it at the time.
Good morning, everybody who is listening. This is Bob. I am backing out of the driveway now, headed over to get Matt. We are going to start our weekend insanity. There are 50,257.2 miles on the Mustang as I'm pulling out of the block. The plan, as it sits, is to pick up Matt, drive to the Villages, Florida, which is an hour north of Orlando, sleep for the night, and experience the Run Disney Star Wars Half Marathon Weekend at the Walt Disney World Resort in Orlando, Florida. Next time we check in, Matt will be with us. Matthew is in the car. Say good morning, Matthew.
Good morning, Matthew.
We are pulling out of the city street, headed towards Interstate 55 to begin our trek. Okay. We are still traveling. It is 7:52 a.m. on Friday, April 15th. We're on Interstate 24 in southern Illinois. We are heading east towards the sunset. Nope, that's wrong.
There, though.
Yeah, east towards the sunrise.
Yeah.
There we go. And we're making decent time. We haven't had to stop yet. The average MPG on the car is up to 23.2 miles per gallon. When we started, it was at 22.8. So, highway miles galore.
Structural integrity of our bladders is holding.
That is true. Also, just past the guy, side of the road, sign, thumb up. I asked Matt if he wanted to pick up the hitchhiker.
Nope, not happening.
I said, but he was old. He had gray in his beard. Why not pick up the old hitchhiker?
That just means he's been murdering for a long time. Nope.
Which might or may not be true. We'll never know because we didn't pick him up.
I'll take my chances.
Good afternoon. According to my clock, it's 12:47. According to the actual time and the time zone we are, it's 1:47 because we are in the great state of Georgia. Real quick, just on the update, we stopped for fuel once, and that was in Kentucky. So we're making great time, and we're making great fuel economy. Matt just got a text.
Text from Kim Underwood. Can you hear it? They listen.
Awesome. Now, real quick. According to the sign, in Tennessee, there have been 242 deaths on Tennessee highways so far this year. It's April. That needs to slow down. In Georgia, there have been 371 deaths on highways. So let's all take a minute and realize that maybe we should slow down or pay attention, he says while he's recording a podcast while driving. All right. We'll see you guys maybe when we stop for lunch and dinner. So have fun. Enjoy your afternoon.
In full disclosure, I'm the one actually manning the controls, so he's just talking while he's driving. He was probably going to do that anyway.
All right. Good evening. It is 7:10 Eastern Daylight Savings Time. We just had dinner at Bojangles at exit 62 in southern Georgia off of Interstate 75. I am full and happy. Matt?
I am full and content.
Matt wanted the extra biscuits but decided against it.
I really thought hard about it, but... Understood?
Oh, we got that, we need to name that device. Our GPS wasn't working correctly. Gladys is the Garmin GPS that we use, and it wasn't working. All right. We are north of Valdosta, Georgia, and about 2 hours and change away from our rest point.
More like 3.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it said we were on this road for 2 hours and 26 minutes, and that was like 16 minutes
ago.
Watch
out. Vehicle stopped on shoulder ahead.
254.
Okay. So we're 254. Now it's like 245 from our waypoint for the evening.
This is great radio.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay. Our travels so far have been uneventful, and we've been getting fantastic gas mileage, so kudos to the engineers at Ford. For my V6 Mustang, averaging 28.5 miles per gallon at interstate speed. Those have been the highlights. That and the NPR radio drama of Star Wars. I've only listened to 3 episodes, but if you can find it, you should find it. It's been pretty good. And we've got smooth sailing according to our computers for the rest of our trip. Good morning. How's everybody? April 16th. It is 9:53 a.m. We are on the southern edge of the Walt Disney World property that is just to our right. We're traveling west on 192 on our way to make a couple of off-property stops before we hit wherever the heck we're going today. Wherever the wind may take us. As long as the wind takes us to the wide world of sports, so I can pick up an Expo bib and a pair of New Balance running shoes. And then wherever the wind may take Matt, as long as those stops include Jock at Downtown Disney. What's that place called?
Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar.
My mistake. Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar. That's our plan for today. We don't have... It's nice to not have... know what we're going to do aside from the things that we have to do.
Low intensity day.
We had a great night. We stayed in a relative's house north of Orlando. Just had breakfast at a place called Shakers, which is in Orlando as opposed to south by Walt Disney World. Nice diner breakfast. Had the Western omelet. What did they do? The biscuits grilled
the
biscuits?
They grilled the biscuits.
So they baked the biscuit and then threw it on the grill afterward. After they split it. And it was really, really good.
So strong. Such a strong move.
So if anybody ever says, hey, you want to try a grilled biscuit? The answer is yes. Yes, you do.
We're outside of the Polynesian Village Resort, waiting for the monorail to head towards Grand Floridian and the Magic Kingdom.
This is true.
We picked up the race packet, t-shirt, bought some New Balance shoes after credit card told me I couldn't. So, yay, fraud protection?
Yeah, it worked.
It worked as intended. All right, so we're going to go from here to Magic Kingdom, but we're not going in the Magic Kingdom. We're just going to catch a boat over to the Wilderness Lodge because we've never seen the Wilderness Lodge.
And we want to take the boat on the water bridge because we're stupid.
And we want to take the boat on the water bridge. I will say, though, that being at the Polynesian Resort during the day has changed my opinion of this resort. And I'm sort of leaning towards, you know what, maybe I do want to stay here at some point, at some future yet-to-be-determined Walt Disney World vacation.
When you have a boatload of abundant cash.
Not a boatload of abundant cash, just like actually close that 12% commission instead of only the 4% commissions I usually get. All right, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Right, so at what point did it hit you that this just, there was no way that that was going to fly?
Well, when we got in the car on Saturday morning, so we got to my uncle's house, we slept, we got cleaned up, but woke up and started driving. We were in the car for another half an hour, you know, watching the sun come up on Saturday morning. And I'm like, you know, this is going to be a long drive to do after being in the Magic Kingdom all day. That's not going to work, especially if I'm going to have been up at 2:45. It was my car that we were using, and I'm the one that's comfortable driving it, so it didn't make sense to have Matt drive. So waking up at 2:45, being in the Magic Kingdom until it closed, and then driving for another hour and a half, that seemed like not a good idea, but it didn't occur to us until Saturday morning, and we only had a hotel room for one night.
Right, right.
So we drove in, and we checked in at Pop. And when we checked in at Pop, we just briefly asked the person behind the counter if we were going to add our room, how much is it going to cost to add the additional room? And she looked up on the computer, and she said it would be, what was it, 140?
138.
I'm sorry, I rounded.
how dare you?
Okay. And it wasn't that it was too much or too little or whatever, but we weren't 100% committed to that at that point. We were still kind of sort of maybe thinking we could drive back to the village. Again, we take a long time holding on to our bad decisions that we made earlier on.
Right.
Okay. From Pop, we had started our day at the Race Expo, got Race Expo stuff, got bibs, got shoes, looked at the Run Disney merch, didn't buy any of it because it wasn't 100% right. Then we parked the car and rode the bus to Disney Spring. Had drinks at Jock Lindsay's, which were great.
We are at Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar. It's 3:45 on Saturday. It was pretty awesome.
I'm sticking with LA.
Yeah. No, we don't have our drinks yet. We have some water. It tastes like Florida tap water. Hold your nose, drink quick. We'll let you know how it is when we come back. Okay. Continuing recording. Hopefully you can hear me.
Probably not. Music's loud.
Music's pretty loud. But that's okay. We'll just leave it there and we'll get what we get. I had the Air Mule.
Air Pirates Mule.
Air Pirates Mule, which is Knob Creek whiskey with ginger beer and lime.
Lime juice.
Lime juice.
It was essentially a Moscow Mule.
And it's really good. I like that I can taste that it was Knob Creek. And you, sir?
I'm a Scottish professor.
And do you feel Scottishy and professory?
I feel like I could probably talk in a bad accent, which I do that sober, so. No, it's working. I'm very happy with my choice. I'm very happy with the decor. I'm very happy for the Stealth Rocketeer reference. A+ for that.
We had pretzels. Damn it.
They were delicious.
What kind of, they were called something.
Air Pirate pretzels. Not the most original name, but we'll take it.
All right. So, we're going to go from here. We're going to downtown Disney a little bit. I'm sorry. We'll hit Disney Spring.
We'll get sued if you don't correct yourself.
For a little bit. And then we'll see where we wind up.
I realized after the fact that the drink that I was so enamored with was just a fancy whiskey sour, and then I kind of felt like a dope, but...
Hey, but it was a cool really good. Name, right? It's the Scottish Professor, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
How can you not drink something named after Connery? You can't. You have to drink it.
That's right.
And, I had the, Air Pirate Mule, which is apparently a variation on a common cocktail called a Moscow Mule.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've become a bit of a ginger cocktail junkie of late. I had several at the Diz Dads convention weekend back in January.
No, I was impressed. I'm not really a cocktail person. Normally, if I'm going to drink, I'm a drink something neat or drink a beer. So right. Mixed drinks aren't really my... But it was great. I will probably have another one at some point.
My favorite thing about Jock Lindsey's was the Stealth Rocketeer reference. Up in the rafters. Yeah, that made me extremely happy.
Yeah, they did a really nice job with Jock Lindsey's of sort of tucking a lot of those little references in lots of places, and they don't do anything to go out of their way to draw your attention to them. Mm-hmm. They're just there, and you stumble across them, and it's like you get these little surprises over and over again.
I wonder, I was definitely picking up on some things probably in the menu, but I wonder how much there was that I was just completely missing because, like, for instance, I don't know Young Indiana Jones. I was a kid when it was on TV. I watched the first one, and I couldn't tell you if I watched any of the others. I can only imagine I'm missing huge chunks of the relevance of that building.
Oh, yeah. Well, and even if you had them, I think you still can go back over and over again and find, new things, new references that you'd missed first time around.
I just like the implication that the Rocketeer exists in the same universe as Indy. That alone, I'm gonna start writing a pitch to Marvel and IDW tomorrow.
There you go, pretty cool.
I was excited to be at Jock Lindsey's, just not to the level that Matt was. So
I was pretty excited.
Yeah, he was. But we cut our trip short. Our Disney Springs trip. We got as far as Jock Lindsey's from the marketplace and stopped and turned back because over drinks, we decided, you know what? We really do need a room for the Sunday night. If we're going to go open to close at the Magic Kingdom, we're not going to want to drive. We're going to need a room. So we caught the bus back to Hop to get the car so we could drive over to All Stars for two reasons. One, Matt had never stayed at an All Star. And two, we figured it would be a little less expensive than Pop, even if it was only, $10 or $15, less is less.
Right, right. It was worth a shot at least.
Sure. So we drove over there. We asked the gal, hi, is there a room available for checking in Sunday, checking out Monday? And she pulls it up. Bottom line, nope. At no All-Star, is there any room? I was like,
book solid, huh?
Book solid? And she's like, yep, I'm sorry. And so then at that point, we decided, you know what? We're in our room at Pop. We have our stuff there. We'll just pay the extra and stay, the extra day at Pop. We got over to Pop and waited our turn and talked to, we'll call her Emily, cast member Emily. And I saw that she was from Paris and had the little French bilingual sticker on her name tag.
Uh-huh.
And so I brought up the fact that Paris Saint-Germain, the soccer team, had just recently lost to Manchester City in the UEFA Cup Soccer League. Well, that got her talking on a whole tirade about how she had called her boyfriend who wouldn't talk to her because he was busy watching this soccer game. So even though she only gets to call him one day a week, he couldn't be bothered because he was watching.
Oops! This wasn't a good tirade. This was a cranky tirade.
She was unhappy with him for that. But what it did was apparently it led to her forgetting to charge us for the weekend rate, and instead we got the weekday rate. So somehow it wound up. Yeah. So somehow. instead of 138.38, it was 117 even.
Well, isn't that special?
So somehow, through getting her convinced that, you know, we're nicer than her boyfriend, she didn't set up the correct payment category for the room that we were in, and we just, I wasn't going to correct her on it.
It happened just like we drew it up.
Sleight of hand. It was all the sleight of hand.
I've watched Ocean's 11, 12, 13 many times. That's how it happened. We just bamboozled her.
But, you know, and then, so we got it all squared away. We're in our room for two nights. It took a lot longer than it should have to get to that point. But we got to that point. From there, we retired to the room. It was, what, like 8-ish at this point?
Yeah.
I sat down and put my feet in the pool for a little bit just to kind of take a little bit of the day off, knowing that I was going to have to be up in like 5 hours. And then I retired pretty early with the help of a little bit of Benadryl. I was asleep by about 8:30, 8:45.
So on that Saturday. Matt, you know, Bob's already drifted off to sleep. Are you headed to sleep, or are you up for exploring some more?
I harbored such dreams. I was going to jump on a bus by myself and go close down Trader Sam's. I ended up reading Hunt for Red October by the pool. Because I'm like, my feet already hurt, and I haven't even done a park yet. Let's not be stupid.
And you still got running to do.
I don't have any running to do.
Oh, you're okay. You're just there to cheer along. See, for some reason, I thought you had gotten suckered into running as well.
Oh no, maybe one day, but I got a lot more extra cargo to throw off before that's even remotely feasible.
Okay.
But yeah, I was thinking about, you know, going out and hitting something on the monorail loop, but we had done that and during the day, slightly backtracking our day at the. Before we even got to Downtown Disney, Disney Springs. I'm still doing it. I'm sorry. Before we'd even got there, we jumped on the bus to Epcot to take the monorail over because otherwise we weren't going to be on the monorail. Took the monorail to the resort loop, walked around the Poly monorail over to the boat dock, and in a big experience for us, we took the launch from Magic Kingdom over to Wilderness Lodge so we could go on the water bridge, which made us way too happy for two grown, allegedly grown men.
Oh, come on. It's pretty darn cool.
Oh, I agree.
That was our point. That's why we did it. That was just the water bridge experience itself. It's a bridge over the road, not the other way around. It's fantastic. But we had seen it. And, yeah, we just went for it, finally.
There are vehicles passing underneath us on the ground, yet we are in a boat, and there's a train overhead. This is amazing.
This is what I'm saying.
So, that was a big deal. And then from there, we tooled around Wilderness Lodge for a bit, and that's when we went over. Because we had done that, I was like, I didn't really feel it necessary to go back. I do want to see Trader Sam's at some point, but I was already a little beat, and we had a full park day ahead of us, so.
Right. And, well, the killer about Trader Sam's is that you're going to have to wait.
Exactly, yeah. I haven't been, but I know, I've heard about the hours, so.
Right.
What the crowds are like, so.
The Monday. Most hilarious thing is that while we were around the Polynesian, Matt commented multiple times, about how much he doesn't like pineapple or pineapple-based drinks. Yeah. Yet he wanted to go to Trader Sam's to hang out and have drinks.
I don't like fruity drinks. I don't like rum. Why am I going to a tiki bar? What is wrong with me?
Okay, well, that's questionable. I'll admit that.
Yeah, it's dumb. There's a lot of dumb here.
Well, you know, and now we're back to the subject of the trip in itself. Right? I mean, you'd done 14 hours in the car. You'd had 14 hours of the car, what, maybe 3 or 4 hours in Disney Springs? If that. And then you're back at the resort, and Bob's already asleep, and Matt is, you know, fighting desperately to stay awake with his book in his lap by the pool.
I did. I wasn't expecting, and maybe I was just stupid. I wasn't expecting fireworks to be going off at the studios. I didn't think the Star Wars fireworks had started yet. I caught that, you know, without obviously looking out over Art of Animation from our side of Hourglass Lake. That was cool, but it's a thing of watching a fireworks show without having context for the whatever little bit of narrative they're throwing at you. But that was neat.
Yeah, and it's a neat show.
That was another thing that I considered doing as well. When that popped up on the resort TV, I'm like, well, I could take the bus over to the studios, but even then I'm like, you need to go to bed. You need to go to bed. Don't be dumb.
All right, so you give in finally. You get some sleep. Yes. Now, Bob's getting up at, you know, before the crack of dawn, really, to do the race. Matt, are you getting up with him to go down and cheer for him? Or are you
going to sleep in a bit
and then send Bob off?
I would like to.
Yeah, go ahead.
No. So the race, Star Wars race, you listeners may or may not know, woke up at 2:45, caught the bus at 3. I was in an early corral, so my legs were moving at 5:08 for the Star Wars race.
Okay, good morning. We are at the Star Wars Half Marathon Corrals. First thing in the morning, it's 3:30 a.m. All right, so we got a whole lot of standing around still to go, but that's okay. I walked around, I took some pictures. There's a lot of people here. Like, you can hear all you want. There's a lot of people there, but there are a lot of people here. There's some scenes that people are in line to get pictures taken with. There's Han Solo and Carbonite. There's Jabba the Hutt. There's Darth Maul. There's a Darth Vader scene. There is BB-8. And some stormtroopers, all with great backdrops. Those are not ones I'm going to be waiting in line for. Still hoping for the trash compactor scene that I didn't do. And so we'll see what happens. Looks like it's going to be a great day. The weather looks like it's going to hold down. Don't want to jinx it. So we'll see where we are.
All right, so you were actually running by 5:08.
Yes. And finished at 7:20, which means I had run a half marathon. Matt was awake. I didn't wake up until 7:25 was when his alarm went off.
Back up. You weren't there.
Oh.
I woke up red-eyed, bushy-tailed on my own without the aid of alarm 10 minutes before said alarm was about to go off. I collected myself, got ready to go, ran into the classic hall, down some breakfast, even though my bus had pulled up, which you know, did something amazing in terms of running. I devoured breakfast. That was the thing I had been training my whole life for. I made the bus.
And sorry, you said a land speed record for breakfast.
Yes. That was unnecessary. I'm ashamed to be your friend.
But ran the race, could do a whole podcast about the actual running, but the bottom line was I finished in the time I was hoping for. I got my picture taken with in the trash compactor scene that they had set up from Star Wars A New Hope.
Why'd you take your picture there, Bob?
Well, see, they had the same scene out in California, but rather than stopping to get my picture taken with that, I took a picture of that scene, but with somebody else in it. Multiple friends of mine told me that was dumb. You paid for the race. You should
you
wait.
You did it
line
wrong, Bob.
I did it wrong. So I took a picture. I waited in line to take my picture with that one. Then afterwards, I was running past and they had the Wampa scene from Empire Strikes Back where Luke is bringing his lightsaber with the Force. And you could pose to get your picture taken in that scene. And again, I took a picture of it and then realized if I don't stop and get my picture taken in this scene, then I should have just stayed home and run the 13.1 miles at home. And so I stopped and didn't worry about my time and just got my picture taken there.
So it sounds to me, Bob, like you have a bit of a struggle when you know, going to do these Disney races because your competitive nature tells you, you know, stick with my pace, run my race, and then your Disney fan in you says, ooh, cool, picture opportunity.
Well, and that's true, but that's why before we went, I had a plan. I was stopping for the trash compactor scene because I knew it was there. And if they were out on the course, Darkwing Duck or Launchpad McQuack, those were the things I was going to be stopping for if they came up.
Okay.
So there was a scene with a TIE fighter. I didn't get my picture taken there. Chewbacca and Boba Fett were on the course, as was R2-D2. They were not on the list. I didn't stop for them. There were no ducks, though, but there was the Hoth scene. So all in all, I stuck to the plan for the running of the race pretty well. And as somebody else pointed out, it's really expensive, and part of the reason for being up front is so that the lines for those scenes are shorter. So I took advantage of the shorter lines. There was only about 15 people in line for Hoth, only about 10 for the trash compactor. So it was slow. But
So being in an early corral didn't just mean that you had less people to dodge, but it also meant that you had less people to dodge when it came time to get your pictures taken. And so you were able to get a couple taken without really having to slow down too much,
Yeah. But the actual land speed record for me, if we're going to say that Matt set some sort of record for eating his breakfast and catching his bus, is that I was able to run the race, get cleaned up, and still make it to Rope Drop Show for the Magic Kingdom.
That's pretty darn impressive, actually, because you had to get yourself back over to a value resort, which is a bit of a trek from where you were when you finished the race.
We finished at Wide World of Sports, and I just happened to, I walked through the corrals, I got my pictures taken, I got my medals, I got my banana, and I just, kept walking and got on the bus, and the bus pulled off, maybe 4 minutes after that, it was really ready to go already. So kudos to Run Disney for that.
Good timing.
Yes.
All right. So Matt, you wolf down your breakfast. You hop on that bus. You're heading to the park. Mm-hmm. Are you trying to converge with Bob, or are you passing? You're going towards the park while he's on his way back to the resort. How's that transition going?
He had texted me that things were going well and that he could probably meet me for rope drop, which is really what happened. We were standing maybe all of 20 feet away from each other when the welcome show ended.
Nice.
But yeah, I got into the park without incident. Got to stand in front, made rope. It was the first time I'd made rope drop. First time I'd seen the welcome show, so that was really cool. I can mark that off.
Nice sometimes when you don't have to wait for the rest of your family to get ready in the morning.
It's outstanding. Got to overhear a really great story from a family from the Dakotas that flew in that was talking about watching an old couple make out, and apparently one of the families, no one else remembered it, and that was fun. I'm glad I if I hadn't been on that exact bus, I wouldn't have had that experience. Disney magic.
Okay. And so you've got your one day, really. This is your park day. And you drove 14 hours for it. You're about to turn around and drive another 14. So what was your plan of attack? You mentioned before we started recording that, you did have sort of a touring plan set for yourselves for the day. So what were the priorities for the touring in the park?
Yeah, I'm a touring plan subscriber, so I've been harping on that thing for a while. We had our three fast passes planned out. We were really happy when the planned refurb for Thunder was put off, because then we got to get Thunder back into the mix for the trip. Our fast passes were Space, Seven Dwarfs, and Big Thunder, and we knocked those out pretty quickly. We actually went and did Standby on Seven Dwarves, which was my first trip on the coaster. But we were able to knock that out.
Did that at Rope Drop? So how was the Standby at Rope Drop at Seven Dwarfs? Because that's been one of those that really since it opened, even at Rope Drop, it's been pretty instantly a 45 to 60 minute wait.
I would say it was about 45 minutes, yeah.
We didn't actually, we went and got Sorcerer of the Magic Kingdom cards.
We did.
Okay, so you didn't go there immediately.
Immediately, no. Slight diversion. My wife was my wife and I went back for our second trip together the summer that Sorcerers had debuted, and she was a big fan, so I was hell-bent on picking that up for her as a souvenir.
Ah, all right. Well, you know, when you get to make those solo trips, you got to do the little things to keep the folks back home happy so that, you know, when you get home, they'll open the door.
Exactly.
But you're right. The line was about 45 minutes. We got to kind of do the interactive queue elements of the matching River Gem game.
Right, right.
My personal feeling on the coaster is that it's a great coaster, but if the wait time is more than 45 minutes, I'm going to do something else instead. That's my cutoff for that standby line, but that's just me.
Maybe this is my bias in terms of not having been to the parks when it's been insanely crowded. I've had a hard time justifying standing in line for over an hour for lots of stuff. So 45 is sort of my, I guess, around my cutoff too. That being said, I really like that coaster. I was impressed with, even though it's not a very high speed coaster, I really enjoyed it. I thought the banking that they do, that coupled with the way the cars go back and forth.
The swing setup.
Yeah. Really, really happy with it. I would put that above, even though it's arguably a less intense experience, I probably enjoyed that more than Thunder.
Wow. That's high praise.
I really enjoyed it. I value, maybe it's being middle-aged now, but I value being on a smooth coaster.
Yeah, well, the swaying of the cars really does. I mean, I think it's brilliant as an introductory coaster because it has that it takes out the one thing I think that was hardest for my son when I first got him into roller coasters was that sense of being squished against the side of the car, which all of those other relatively introductory coasters do.
Yes.
Big Thunder in particular.
Yeah, and, no, I would totally agree. That's definitely something you don't have because you have that extra, that range of motion on the actual, on the train.
Yeah, right.
The storytelling of the coaster, I really, really enjoy. I especially, for some reason, the witch at the end, standing outside of the cottage.
Just outside the door.
That's such a great location for that animatronic.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It's such an odd note to play, because it's odd, I find, for Disney to end the narrative on the ride in sort of an ominous place. Like, you know, yeah, the story, everyone knows the story, theoretically. And yes, it'll, you know, everything's going to end well. You know, someday her prince does come. But ending the ride with the villain showing up about to poison the protagonist, and that's where you get off the ride. It's a weird choice. I really like it.
Well, I mean, one of the things that I think is kind of interesting about it, too, is when it sounds to me like you guys were riding near the front. Is that accurate?
No, I think we're kind of right in the middle of the coaster.
Okay. Well, so even towards the middle, here's the thing about the coaster. What you see, what you experience of that final scene varies wildly based on where you're sitting in the train. Mm-hmm. Because if you're from the middle forward, right, what you really see is the hag at the door.
Yeah.
If you're from the middle back, what you see is the dwarfs in Snow White dancing in the cottage. And you don't even really see the hag until, you know, you blow past her when you pull into the unload area.
Yeah. No, it's a really interesting storytelling choice. I really like
it. I mean, you get such a different experience.
Yeah. I agree.
We went from there. We did a typical tour. We hit our fast passes, like Matt said. We had Space Mountain fast passes. We talked about the various ways to destroy Tomorrowland Speedway, whether or not we could just disassemble it or if it need to be raised with fire and brimstone.
Kill it with fire.
Make sure, you know, nothing grows there again, type of thing.
It is to my eternal shame that on one of my trips, I actually got the option of you doing a survey, and I didn't take the time to keep scoring on the speedway. It completely just left my mind.
Sorry. We have strong feelings about the speedway.
I'm sorry. If people have a wonderful experience and have a great memory of the speedway, I don't care. Everybody has go-karts for the most part now. It's not that it's not like it's the Autopia. You know, it doesn't have an aesthetic that's really worth preserving. It's just go-karts.
That's the thing that I never understand about the Tomorrowland Speedway. There's nothing about it to make it Tomorrowland. There's
exactly.
There's nothing futuristic about it. And there's nothing thematically Disney about it. So yep. There's also no, you know, franchise tie-in anywhere. I just don't get it. I don't see what its role is.
It would be one thing if at one point in its life cycle, if it did have that and it just went away. But it never had. It's always just been this generic speedway.
Yeah, that's the point. And it's yeah. just bizarre.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring up a second rant there.
No, that's all right. I mean, that's one of the things that you guys clearly noticed. You spent time talking about it.
Yeah, but for some reason, the run coupled with the heat that's it's a little bit warmer there, I was starting to feel the effects of a headache. So after Space Mountain, I got a Coke and a Tylenol from one of the gift shops. And Matt said, that's not what you need to cure a headache. What do I need to cure a headache? And he said, we need citrus swirls to cure headaches. And I couldn't help but agree with him. So we walked across the hub and picked up our first of many citrus swirls on the day.
I like that. A day fueled by citrus swirl.
That's there are pretty
a few
much what it was.
Better ways to spend your day.
Matt purchased 7 citrus swirls on
Sunday. I didn't eat 7, I just bought 7.
So how many of the 7 did you eat, Bob?
Maybe 3. it was bad. That was part of our, God, we're so stupid. You see, the original plan for fueling the day was to have nothing but citrus swirls, cream cheese filled pretzels, and chicken and waffle sandwiches. That was going to be our meal plan for Sunday.
That sounds like an admirable goal to me.
It was an admirable goal until
nutritionally sound also.
Yeah, nutritionally sound. Until we walked past Sleepy Hollow and we saw that they had Nutella waffles on the menu, but they did not have spicy chicken waffle sandwiches.
Yeah, they got rid of all the savory waffles. I was more than a little bit disappointed.
That's a huge bummer.
And then when we were over getting onto Space Mountain, we walked by Munching Pad. Is that the name of it?
Uh-huh.
And did not see cream cheese filled pretzels on that menu.
And that happened like right before we came down. I remember seeing that on my Disney Twitter like days beforehand. Another huge bummer.
So our plan had been, the rug had been pulled out from under us for that. So via text message, I explained to the missus what our plan was and how we weren't going to eat anything. She texted back to comment that she had overheard us talking about the Jungle Cruise restaurant and suggested that we go there to have dinner or eat there instead. So I had known that you're supposed to do same day reservations.
Right.
And we're talking about over there.
Skipper's Cantina.
Right. Skipper's Canteen. So Matt had tried to make the reservations on the My Disney Experience app?
Yeah, I had tried it while we were in line, while we were doing our first ride of Mine Train, you know, pretty much after rope drop. I had tried to reserve it then, didn't realize that I had to have the card plugged into the phone, and the card kept getting declined, even though the card was fine. I used it the rest of the trip. So that wasn't, you know, we had just like, well, sometime when we're over there, we'll just walk in and set it up manually.
Because you didn't, yeah. Since you didn't have a credit card linked to your account, well, it wouldn't wouldn't let you make the dining reservation because it wants.
Well, actually, I did that. I did that in the line, and it was saying my card was declined, which it wasn't. I used it that trip, so I don't know. I don't know what happened. Regardless, it wasn't an issue. We were able to get the walk in.
All right. Well, yeah. That's good.
We walked up and we're like, well, we want to watch the Festival of Fantasy Parade. That's at 3:00, so we'll say 4:15. And Robert was the guy behind the counter, and he took our reservation and handed us a piece of paper that said, here's your reservation number, be back at 4:15.
Okay.
So, we continued our touring. We hit, it's a standard tour. We did Space, we did Splash, we did Big Thunder, Haunted Mansion a couple of times.
Pirates only once, which was a little weird, but.
Pirates and watched Tiki Room and watched the Festival of Fantasy Parade.
Had you seen the parade before?
I had, and that's why I wanted to make sure Matt saw it.
All right, so Matt, it was a first experience for you. What did you think of Festival of Fantasy?
A good parade. I remember when it was first coming online, and I remember seeing the concept art for the floats, and thinking it looked like a good, looked like a good parade, looked like a good replacement for what they had in the park. I was happy to see. I'm happy to see Tangled being included. As much as it is, it's probably my favorite. Animated Disney film.
Yep.
So, I enjoyed it. I'm an easy mark for the steampunk Maleficent dragon. I wasn't prepared for how much I was going to enjoy the crow soldiers, which I don't have another word for, but the crows that Prince Philip fights on. They are. I'm like, I mean, yes, we already had the Maleficent film, but I'm like, that'd be a really cool twist to use that aesthetic in a movie. That'd be cool. I enjoyed the parade. We had a good spot. We were slightly elevated. We were we watched it from Frontierland up on one of the near one of the storefronts.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my favorite spot for that parade is up on the train platform. Right?
Yeah.
You can watch it as it comes down Main Street towards you.
How far in advance do you have to get up there to nail down those seats, though?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, when I did it, when we were there for Diz Dad's Club convention weekend, you know, I kind of stumbled on it pretty close to parade time.
Really?
I wasn't up there very far in advance at all. I think it may have just been, you know, fairly low crowd level day and... I lucked out and I was by myself. I mean, it's a lot easier to find a spot by yourself or even, you know, traveling like you guys were with just the two guys than it is to find a spot for your whole family. Because, you know, it didn't matter to me, for example, to be right on the rail, right? Mm-hmm. It was fine to have shorter people in front of me. It was not a big deal. I could still get a good view and good pictures. So, all right. So sounds like you guys really did get a nice full day. And did you get a count? How many attractions did you manage to hit with just the two of you?
I don't know. I'm poorly planned for this. I never actually did the count. I definitely don't feel like we didn't get our money's worth. I mean, part of that's from being there as long as we were. Right. We might have been dragging towards the end, but we were pretty much attraction to attraction to attraction. The longest break was probably when we had the meal at Skipper's Canteen.
All right. Well, so let's pause for a minute and talk a little more about Skipper's Canteen because it's
we will
unique
happily
experience.
Do that. We will happily do that. So
we're both pretty big suckers for the Jungle Cruise to begin with. Like when Bob and I have been in the parks together, we make a point of going at least twice. I'm a big fan of Jungle Cruise at night just because it's a little creepy. It adds something to the experience. So I guess it almost makes it, this is going to sound weird, almost makes it a little more akin to the Mansion, where it's the combination of silly and scary.
Uh-huh.
Even though it's not really scary, but you know. Yeah, so, we're both big fans of of the Jungle Cruise. That's my old man retirement job, is to be a Jungle Cruise skipper.
Okay. Okay.
The other point that I'm going to address as it relates to this story is that I'm incredibly frugal when it comes to spending money on food. I really do not like doing it, which is why it took the missus texting Matt that said, make him buy dinner at the Skipper's Canteen. That was the reason we were there, is because she had told us via text message, just go eat food.
Okay.
So we walked in.
I get that. You were reluctant to spend that money on yourself, you know?
Yeah.
You were already spending the vacation money on yourself, and, you know, you didn't want to be wasteful.
Park ticket, the race fees, the room, the second night on the room. Yeah, I'm spending a lot. I can get by on the pocket full of peanut butter crackers.
And it's not like neither one of us has not had that experience. Not that exact experience, but we've both had table service dining in the parks and had good experiences. It was just, we talked ourselves kind of in and out of doing it, and we were comfortable not doing it. We were fine just going either quick service or just snack-based, you know, refreshment the whole day.
Sure.
But
Sarah made us.
Sarah made us.
So we weren't exactly talking about that, but I was leaning less expensive menu items. But while we were sitting there, we were talking to the server, and the host, the one who seats you, walks over and says, and pulls our server away. And then they both walk back and said, an anonymous guest in the restaurant has offered to purchase your dinner for you with her extra dining plan credits if you would like.
Wow.
And yeah. We're like,
I'm waiting for the punchline.
Yeah, it's the Skipper's Canteen. That's kind of what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, we're fine with that. I mean, if there's somebody here in more need, clearly, you know, we're fine paying for our own food. And she said, well, no, she just, it's her last day. She has extra credit. She doesn't know what to do with them. She offered to buy you two dinner.
Very nice. Somebody had two dining credits left. She looked up, and you guys were the table of two in the room, probably.
That was what I chose to believe.
Matt was convinced he was being hit on?
No.
No, God, no. I'm just suspicious. And it's not that I immediately didn't believe. I usually have competing theories about what's happening at any given time. So it was the luck of it. I mean, the luck of actually deciding to, you know, go have the meal, being able to get a table, even though I know it's only open, you know, they only do same day reservations, being able to get the table. You know, we already had the stroke of luck with getting the second night in our stay. Now this was happening. You know, I'm naturally suspicious. So yeah, I did question it. I do look at gift horrors squarely in their dental work.
And I'll be honest, it did change what I ordered. I was gonna get the that's a lot of steak salad.
I might have ordered for him.
Actually, a really good salad.
Thank you.
Because it is a lot of steak.
Okay. But instead, I just went ahead and got the Dr. Falls steak. It had guacamole and what was the other green stuff?
Chimichurri.
Yeah, chimichurri.
Yeah. I don't particularly care for guac, but the chimichurri was very tasty as a garnish for the steak. The steak was well done.
But it was cooked properly.
It was prepared well.
Yes.
And tasty, but it was not the best steak I've had on property, but it wasn't choking it down.
Okay.
You enjoyed it. Don't undersell it.
It may not be a steakhouse, but that doesn't mean it wasn't a good steak.
Sure. All right.
And Matt had some sort of pork concoction.
it's pretty much a given. If I there's pork on the menu, that's what I'm getting.
Okay.
And yeah, I had the char siu pork. It was a basically a Chinese red barbecued bit of pork belly. It was very good. I was very happy.
Excellent. Sounds good.
I would definitely do it again. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
Presuming I was on a trip and I had the budget to support doing table service, I would absolutely do it again.
Oh, yeah. If I'm going to sit down in the middle of the day to eat, that's a great place. A lot of the times you don't want characters, but you want to be in a theme park at a sit-down restaurant. And I think that's really where this place lands solid. It's got a great theme. The menu was hilarious. But you don't have Mickey and Donald or the Pooh characters or princesses. You have Jungle Cruise attraction humor.
But not character theme.
Yeah. Speaking of someone that really loves the parks and is kind of a late convert to Disney parks, I don't have that affection for the classic characters. I mean, I guess from exposure, you know, it is cool to see Mickey, especially when you see the one that talks. It is neat to see that, especially when you see other people. I'm more prone to when I see other people sort of geek out over that. That makes me happy. I'm not necessarily going to react to those characters that way, but watching other people do, that's something pleases me immensely. You know, so while I don't have that connection to Mickey and Donald and Goofy and Minnie, I do love the overall concept of the parks, and I love the Jungle Cruise. So being able to extend the Jungle Cruise experience, you know, into dining is really cool for me.
Sure. All right. So you had your dinner there. Now, how late are you hanging at Magic Kingdom? You hear the whole, you know, all the way to fireworks at the end of the night?
We went open to close. We walked in the park at 9 o'clock when the turnstiles were open. We were there, and our plan was to make them kick us out. We made it to 11:58 on a 12 o'clock night. Before we were just like, no, I'm not going to sit on this bench for two more minutes. I'm going to go ahead and walk to the bus stop.
I got nothing to prove. I know what I did today.
But what we did, we skipped the parade because I was wrong and thought it was going to rerun at 11 o'clock, which it did not that particular night.
Wounded me deeply because I love Main Street Electrical Parade. Not really. I do love the parade, but I was slightly bummed that I didn't get to see it, but not a deal breaker. I have seen it before.
So during the parade, we did a second round on Space Mountain. We did the rocket ships for Astro Orbiter, where we could have been nice and helped a couple of folks. So we were in line behind four kids, what looked like it was like a high school group of four. Maybe college. There was a guy and a girl who appeared to be on a date, and then two guy friends who were about my height. So they're like 6'2", 6'3". And the guy handing out the passes says, how many rockets do you need? And the couple said, oh, we need one rocket. Okay, so he hands them the one card. And then the next two guys, who are both 6'2", each, how many rockets do you need? And they said, oh, just the one. So they took one card. And then they came to Matt and I, how many rockets do you need? We were like, oh, we need two. So we get up to the top and watch these two college-age kids try to cram themselves into one rocket.
What? The first guy gets in, and the second kid comes up and is just like, whoa, no. I didn't know.
Like he's just seen something really scary.
Yeah.
So he stayed to the side while the group of three now wound up riding in the rockets. When the parade ended and people were able to fill into Main Street to watch the castle show and then Wishes, the exit behind the backstage exit had been open, where you walk behind the buildings on Main Street. Okay. So we wanted to watch Wishes from Main Street, but didn't want to leave the park by going out the back. And the cast member assured us, you're not leaving the park, you're just going to Town Square. Well, we were able to walk to Town Square and then walk back up Main Street and wound up right at the alley for the Castle Show and then Wishes. Pro tip, if you didn't get a spot for the parade and then just filter in the Main Street, that's the way to do it to get a good spot.
Oh, nice. So you just kind of looped around rather than having to play, you know, salmon going upstream.
You know, it's one of those things where I think you'd have some, your mileage is going to vary depending on crowd levels.
Sure.
Because it was fairly busy on that day. But even then, I mean, like Bob said, we got up to the alley and we weren't even packed in really, really tightly. It was one of those things that we didn't plan it and it worked really well. And I'll probably do it going forward.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting that I'm talking to you guys about this now because I just talked to Scott Stratman, who was in a somewhat similar situation, but on a really, really crowded day, like max crowded day, because it was spring break in Magic Kingdom. And he actually ran into a problem because that bypass route got clogged.
Really?
I don't know how they did it, because it seems to me it should be pretty simple. It's one way, it all goes, but for whatever reason, he said it reached total gridlock for about 20 minutes.
Wow, and that's not a narrow walkway. No. I mean, that's...
And I can't figure out, the only thing I can think of is that maybe, you know, there was something up ahead of him that he didn't see, that, you know, a wheelchair was stuck, or, you know, something bizarre like that happened, but... Yeah, because he said they got completely stuck, and it actually was a little scary for his daughter. He put her up on his shoulders because, you know, she couldn't – I mean, it was so crowded she couldn't see in front of her, basically.
Was the parade running?
Yes, it was during the parade, which cuts off the exit, and that might have been part of it, too. There might have been an issue with people gathering at the exit instead of going ahead and going out so that they could loop back.
Yeah, I would almost bet that's what it was.
Yeah, and that makes a certain amount of sense, although – God, poor cast members. I mean, I only imagine that they were trying desperately to get people to move along, and people were just being stubborn.
People do not move. We watched that during Festival of Fantasy. We were near a ramp that was taped off, and it was like, you have to keep moving. And there were cast members at each end, and constantly people would, oh my goodness, this is a great spot to stand. Why is nobody else standing here?
Because this is the walkway, bonehead.
We watched that, and then because there wasn't a second parade, they brought the Main Street vehicles back out late at night.
Oh, cool.
So I had never ridden Main Street vehicles. Matt had never done Main Street vehicles, so that was kind of how we didn't get to see the electric parade, but we did get to ride Main Street vehicles, so it worked out because we've seen the parade before. We've never ridden the Main Street vehicles before.
So which of the Main Street vehicles did you ride?
I don't know.
It was a red. It wasn't a fire truck. It was red.
You read the bus?
It wasn't the bus. The bus was available, but it wasn't available right then, and we just took the first available. It was red.
It had benches.
Yeah.
So overall, though, we got back from that loop, and that's when I looked at my watch, and it was, like I said, it was 11:50. Something at that point, and I was just like, I think we can go ahead and call this a day. I think we've accomplished everything we've tried to accomplish.
Everything but the kiss goodnight. You were pretty much done.
I knew I was working on some really sweet blisters, so I was taking those.
The one who was running.
Yeah, I was taking those home as a souvenir, so I didn't really need anything else.
So from there, we got to the bus. The bus to pop was one of the accordion buses, so it was twice as big. Went, no issues getting on the bus, no issues getting off the bus. A sleepy little kid thought I was her dad, so that was kind of amusing.
you sure that wasn't Matt?
No, not this time. The mom was holding the 4-year-old sister and the 2-year-old brother in her lap while dad was standing there with the stroller. And so dad was getting off the bus with the stroller, and the sleepy daughter climbed down out of mom's lap and just grabbed the first hand that was there, which happened to be mine. And so, yeah, I just walked off the bus, and I'm like, Dad, do you want this particular child? And so she let go of my hand and grabbed her dad's hand, and I don't even think she was awake that entire time.
Didn't even really notice what you'd done.
No, it's just like, I'm just going to stand in to help her walk down these steps while she's sleepy, and then that'll be that. So went from there, got cleaned up, got to sleep, and slept a lot.
Even then, we were still up fairly early. We were back on the road by 8, and that was with getting up, getting packed up, and making a stop before we left town.
Somebody has an obsession with a soda that they sell in Florida called Cheerwine.
Yeah, someone does.
So we couldn't just leave. We had to stop and buy Cheerwine, and then we could leave.
Speaking of, that would have been a lot cooler if I had gotten it open on one try. There we go.
There you go. So we stopped for Cheerwine. We got on the road, and we used this app called Waze, which I had never heard of, and Matt swears by, as our navigation buddy.
Right.
And Waze comes up with this flashing warning, exit highway now, traffic ahead, exit highway now, traffic ahead. Matt swears by the app, exit the highway now, there's an accident 3 miles ahead. And I said, it's 3 miles, it's fine. So we stayed on I-75, and it took us 3 hours to go 3 miles. On I-75.
Telling you, man, trust the app.
Lesson learned. We got stuck in traffic at 8:45, and we were not back up to speed until 12:30.
Wow.
No.
That put a real damper on the drive home.
No, 9:45. So 10:45, 11:45, 12:45. Yeah. Yeah, it was... So our plan was to arrive back home at about 10. Well, hitting that 3-hour delay also meant that we hit Atlanta during rush hour instead of 3 hours before rush hour, like right. We had planned. So instead of getting through Atlanta in 20 minutes, it took us an extra hour there as well. So instead of cruising in at 10 o'clock, we got home at 2 o'clock and then still had to go to work on Tuesday. So that was the last dumb part of our planning, was not taking Tuesday off of work as a recovery.
Yeah, I bet that ride home was an interesting challenge.
You know,
if Bob didn't have Dropkick Murphys on his iPod, I don't think we would have made it the last half hour. if we hadn't have both started singing Greenfields of France, we would have been dead.
All right, so you had this crazy whirlwind trip. You know, 28 hours worth of driving for a good, 10, 12 hours in the park?
It was 9 to midnight that day, so yeah. 15 hours in the park. All right. So that made it worth it. If it would have been 12 hours.
Oh, well, yeah. 3 hours makes all the difference. So 28 hours driving for 15 hours in the park, and Bob running around in circles for a while. So looking back at this, first of all, if somebody else in the community here is considering something crazy like this, what are a couple of tips, maybe one from each of you, that you would give them to successfully pull off this kind of a trip? I'll let Matt go first. Matt, what's one bit of advice you would give to somebody who's considering something crazy like this?
You know, I really thought I was probably going to give the jokey response first, but I actually want to be helpful. Give a lot of thought to the ways things could go wrong. Try to game out what could possibly go wrong with your plan. You know, we really thought, and actually when we were in the planning phase, I would continually ask him, can we do this? Can you do this? You're the one that's running a race. You know, can we really do this overnight? You know, can you do a whole park day after you've run? and then drive back, you know, in 90 minutes to stop out of town, you know, make that stop out of town. You know, it's not just stuff like that. It's you know, if your plan involves crackerjack timing to get you up and out of bed and through traffic and bypassing rush hour, and you know, you're gonna hit slowdowns. You're gonna hit that kind of stuff.
Right.
Sure. You know, it's stuff like that.
Okay.
It's a marathon. It might not be for everyone. It definitely sounds like a good idea. It sounds like a really cool thing to try. I don't think I'd really tell anyone, honestly, not to do it.
Okay, but here's a harder question. You wouldn't necessarily tell somebody else not to do it, but would you do it again?
Oh, hell no.
I might. My honest tip, though, is if you're planning to stay in the park past dark, book an on-site or, you know, stay in the resort that you are staying in town that night. That would be my actual tip to anybody who's considering being in the Magic Kingdom after dark.
And to be fair, my reticence has everything to do with the fact that we have to drive 14 hours back and forth to make it happen. If you don't have that kind of a drive or you're flying in, yeah, it's totally doable. It's just going to be a really tough day. That's it.
Right. Well, and you know, I can see this as being one of those, you know, it's a once in a lifetime thing. So you're going to want to do it once. You know, that's why they call them once in a lifetime. But that, you know, there are some downsides, and you pointed them out. You had a great time, it sounds like, but you know, not something you'd necessarily volunteer to do again. So let's then go to my usual, you know, show ending question, honest, both of you. 10 years down the road, when you're looking back at this, or you know, it comes up in a completely disconnected conversation, what's that one thing about this trip that you're going to remember that's going to stick out in your mind? And Bob, you can go first this time.
I think for me, it's going to be the fact that it was a wake for 21-hour day. It was such a long day, and I did so much. I can't point to any one thing. In 10 years, I won't be able to tick off, you know, Mine Train and then Space and then Splash and then da 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 da. I'll just know that I woke up at 2:45 a.m. and I didn't go to bed until 12:45. That's going to be like that takeaway. I spent a 20-hour day at Walt Disney World, and it was fantastic.
Right. You were at Disney, and darn it, you weren't going to waste it sleeping.
I was not going to waste it sleeping.
All right. And Matt, how about you? What's the one thing that you're going to look back at and that's going to be the memory that sticks out?
Probably the, you know, it's the great fortune of getting the room for really cheap, which is stupid, but let me finish. It's the fortune of getting the room for really cheap, you know, getting that second room we should have booked early and getting it at a discount, and then having that dinner just land in our lap, and then paying for it by being stuck in traffic for 3 hours.
Karma all evened out, and that's the way it's really supposed to work, right?
Yep. That and the fact that I took down 4 citrus swirls without blinking.
There you go.
We ate a lot of citrus swirls.
Yeah, they're great.
Well, gentlemen, I have really enjoyed getting to hear the story of your essentially 48-hour Disney saga. And I'm also glad it was you and not me, because it sounds like a blast, but I don't know that I would have lived to make it home.
No. We did find an off-site restaurant north of Universal Studios, this place called Shakers. We had breakfast there on Saturday morning. It was a good little breakfast, but it's way not anywhere close to a theme park. It was in a neighborhood. It just happened to be a block from my buddy's house. Okay. So we had met him.
Right.
Shakers.
Maybe an on your way out of town thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The grilled biscuits. That's why I was remembering it.
Oh yeah, I saw you mention something about that. So what? Give it real quickly as we're closing out here. What's the story on grilled biscuits?
It was
a standard buttermilk biscuit. It's just that when they split it, then they put the split end down in the flat top and grill it. I hadn't seen it done before.
All right,
it was worth it.
It was.
Well, again, guys, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your adventure with us. Better you than me, but it does sound like it was a great trip, and I look forward to talking to you again the next time you get a harebrained idea like this.
I'm for it.
I'm all for harebrained ideas.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. Spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple. Imagination.